This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the publisher of Mac's List, an online community that connects talented professionals with meaningful work. I believe everyone can find a job they love. But to do that, you need to learn the skills to build a successful career. From professional networking to personal branding, you've got to get good at job hunting. This show helps you do this. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find your dream job. Before we get started, though, I want to ask a favor. I want to give you the most useful job search advice I can. To help do this, we're doing a short listener survey. We want to know what you like and don't like about the show. And we want to hear your ideas for topics we should cover in future episodes. We also want to get to know you better. It's a quick poll with just a handful of questions, and I'd be grateful if you filled it out. And you'll be eligible to win a $50 Amazon gift card. So go to maxlist.org/findyourdreamjobsurvey, and please let us hear from you by November 20th, 2018. Thanks in advance, and now let's get back to the show. Our guest this week is Louise Kurzbach. She's an expert in resumes who helps you tell your career story through powerful branded documents. Louise admits she feels strongly about the need to customize a resume for every job application. The people who do this, says Louise, have a huge advantage over job seekers who rely just on generic resumes. So why don't people use custom resumes? You may worry about the time it takes. Perhaps it just sounds too complicated. Or maybe you just don't know how to get started. Louise says you can create a custom resume quickly, and you can do this with methods familiar to all of us. Her advice includes using old-fashioned tools like yellow highlighters, but Louise also emphasizes that the best resumes come from people who have clear goals. Would you like to learn more? Join me in the MaxList studio as I talk with Louise Kurzbach about how to write a custom resume without driving yourself crazy. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Louise Kurzbach. Louise Kurzbach is one of the leading resume and LinkedIn profile writers in the United States, and she was the first person worldwide to earn the prestigious Master Resume Writer credential. Louise is a six-time Best Resume Award winner, and she's written more than 20 career books, most recently Modernize Your Resume and Modernize Your Job Search Letters. She joins us today from Plymouth, Massachusetts. Louise, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Mac. Nice to talk with you.
It's great to talk with you. And our topic this week, as you know, is how to customize your resume without driving yourself crazy. And when you and I were planning this interview, you said, well, you know, I kind of get on a soapbox about this topic. And so you feel I know strongly about it, Louise. So let me start by asking you, why shouldn't job seekers send in the same resume for every application?
Well, job search today is a kind of a complicated process because first, for most people, the consideration is how is my resume going to stack up against all of the other candidates coming in, flooding in through the electronic floodgates in response to a posted opening. So when your resume comes across the transom in that way, it's really just a matter of how well do you, in terms of the content of your resume, match up against the job requirements and every other candidate, because the employer is going to select only a couple of people to interview from the dozens, maybe hundreds of resumes that they receive. So you have to be a great candidate on paper before you get the opportunity to be a candidate in person. So that's number one reason that it's important to customize. And the other reason or something to think about is if you create a resume that describes who you are, what you do well, your ideal position, and it doesn't match the job posting, no matter how great that resume is, you're not going to look like you are an ideal candidate.
So Louise, those are great reasons, but my experience has been, and I'm guessing you see this too, many people don't customize their resume. Why is that?
Well, it's kind of time consuming and it's kind of tedious. And they do the resume once. It takes a lot of time and effort to create a good resume. And then they think, you know, this is close enough. This is good enough. I think I'll just send this one in. And you know, Mac, in a way, they're kind of right, because I'm just contradicting myself. I realize that, because most people would be much better off spending their time reaching out to individuals through their network to get in front of a hiring manager in person or to make a connection at a hiring company, rather than simply blasting out resume after resume after resume and sitting there waiting for the responses that often don't come. So I am a little bit divided on the advice, because yes, you should customize to keep your chances as high as possible, but you also need to recognize that your chances are pretty slim and you're just enhancing them a little bit when you customize.
So let's talk about what you touched on a moment ago, which is a common strategy for many job seekers, which is to play a numbers game. They say, okay, I'm going to spend X number of hours today looking at public postings, and then I'm going to send out X number of resumes, and eventually the odds will work in my favor. I'll get an interview. And it might take me several hundred applications, but that's okay. Why isn't that a good strategy?
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad strategy, and I certainly think that a job seeker should spend a little bit of time every day or every week perusing openings and sending out resumes that we can talk about customizing. So yes, you should do that, but that is such a limited and small part of the job market. And if you talk to people, you will find that many people have an experience of getting hired in a method other than submitting a resume. They got referred, they got recruited, you know, their mother's friend told them the company was hiring, or they were looking at a company and they found out that they knew someone, so they made a phone call and had a conversation that led to a referral. So often it is outside of the structured process of submitting resumes that people actually get jobs, because your chances of meeting with a person and having an interview are exponentially higher when you do that. So I think a little bit of time playing the numbers game is not a bad thing. It certainly gives you exposure to lots of different job descriptions. It gives you information about what companies are hiring. And yes, you might get lucky and every now and then score an interview. So all of that is good. Just don't stop there, because you'll spend a lot of time in frustration and you'll spend a lot more time in the job search than you need to.
Okay. Well, let's talk about customizing resumes. What kind of revisions do you typically recommend, Louise?
I like to start with a resume on one side. I'm an old-fashioned person, so I'm going to print one out, not just use it on screen. I have a resume and I have a job posting. And I take my yellow highlighter, again, very old-fashioned, and I highlight the keywords that I see in that job posting. Then I look at the resume. Did I meet most of those terms? Did I include those words in my document? Because if they're not in there, my resume will not be selected. It's pretty much as simple as that. So start with that. Look at the job posting, match it up with your resume and see, gee, I have this experience, I haven't mentioned it. Or I use this, I haven't used this term, but I use something that was similar, but let me just change it to match the term that the employer is using. So start with that. Match your resume to the job posting as closely as you can. Of course, you need to be truthful. You can't make up experience that you don't have. But that will tell you if you're going to even be a good candidate in that very first scan.
So you do that, and I just a digression, I got to say, I followed that advice myself in my career about 25 years ago when I first came to the West Coast, mm-hmm. and I was having difficulty getting a job in state and local government, even though I had a master's in public administration from Harvard. And somebody took pity on me, I think at the Oregon Employment Department, and said, what you need to do is exactly what you described, Louise. She said, take out the highlighter, look at the position description, mark the key words, and again, be truthful, but make sure that you're using those phrases. And remarkably, I started getting interviews right away and eventually within a month or two got a job offer. So,
exactly. Yeah. It's the first step. You have to look like you match the job description, which sounds simple. And you would think that the person reading it would be able to interpret some of the information on your resume. And of course, when it gets in front of a human being, that could happen. But the first scan nowadays is completely done by applicant tracking systems, automated scanners that are just looking for those keywords. Actually, not just keywords, Mac. It's even a little more complex than that, because they're looking for keywords in context. They're evaluating length of experience. They may be looking at other factors that are not necessarily spelled out in the posting, but that the the employer has factored into the search. So the better you match, the higher your chances are. So spend some time to do that.
Okay, so find those keywords, incorporate them truthfully into your resume. What other changes or tweaks do you recommend people consider making?
Well, I think a lot of times when people start out looking for a job, particularly a new graduate, someone who doesn't have a lot of experience, but even true for people who do have experience, they're afraid to get specific. They start off being very broad and trying to appeal to a lot of people. And they write a resume that is truthful and hopefully positive and all the good things that you want to include, but that is kind of broad. And then even if they have the correct keywords, if their experience does not look focused enough, sharp enough, clear enough to the person reading it, they're not going to look like a great candidate. So start by creating your objective. What is it that you want to do? And what is a resume that's going to make you look like an ideal candidate for your dream job? Start with that, because if you try to be everything to everyone, you really don't look like you're that special to anyone. And it's not really a great resume. So start with a focus. And then, as we talked about earlier, look at the job postings for that specific job and match them up. And in all likelihood, you might need to have several different versions of your resumes for maybe variations on the types of positions that you're looking for. Example would be if you're an accountant, but you'd also consider something in pure accounting and maybe something in financial analysis. They're going to require the same educational background, a lot of the same skills, but you don't want one resume to look like you're trying to cover all the bases. Write one for each focus so that you look like that really strong candidate.
What would you say, Louise, to listeners who say, well, I want to keep all my options open and I don't want to close any doors?
I do hear that a lot. And what I'm getting from that is they're fearful. They're afraid that they're going to miss out on opportunities because they've been too specific. But what happens is you end up not being specific enough, and then you're not getting any calls for anything. Also, maybe to take some of the fear away, I like to tell people, this is not your final and only decision in your career. We're going to first go for the job that you really want. We're going to go for that. If you're not able to get interviews on that, you're not seeing a lot of postings, you're not getting referrals, okay, what can be my second option? And then go for that. You're not making a lifetime, once in a lifetime decision. So take away the fear and say, this is my objective for now. And then I'll look at it in a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll reassess so that it's not final and kind of scary.
Okay. And I'm also hearing you encourage people to have not only if they do want to pursue one, two, or even three objectives, is it important too, Louise, to craft a resume for each of those objectives?
It is. You typically won't have to rewrite the whole resume. Start with objective number one, write a great resume that's very clearly focused on it and leave off the things that are not relevant for that type of job. And then look at that resume from the perspective of your second objective. Maybe you'll have to add a few things, move some things around, but you're not starting from scratch. So it's not as overwhelming as it might seem to have to create these different versions. It should be a fairly straightforward process if you really think about what's the hiring manager for this job most interested in doing.
So I can imagine listeners wondering about the amount of time it takes to do these kinds of revisions. So when you're, say you've got your basic resume and you're clear about your objective, but you do want to tweak it, typically how much time does that take, Louise?
It's hard to say exactly how much time it should take, but most of the time you're not doing a complete rewrite. You're really just refocusing, maybe adding some new information or rearranging some information, and then you'll have version number two for that particular position that you're going after, the target number two. A good example of how to do that would be, let's say you are in sales and you have in the past and might be interested in sales management as well as sales. So you could lead a sales team or you could just be the individual producer. So resume number one, your first job target is sales. And you're going to highlight all of your sales numbers and you might briefly mention that you've had some responsibility managing a team. You go to create version number two for sales manager, and all of that managing a team stuff moves up to the top and takes even more importance. But of course, your sales results are still important. They're going to stay on the resume. So you might just have to flip the order or add in a bullet point about managing a team in another position that you left out the first version. But it's not like you're totally rewriting. You're not, unless your objectives are so very different that they don't have any relation to each other. And that's pretty rare. So it should just be a matter of taking the one that you have and then looking at it from the perspective of objective number two and seeing what changes you might need to make to make you look like a great candidate for that job number two.
Okay. So it comes back to that foundational work that you mentioned earlier, being clear about your objective or narrowing your search to one, two, or three objectives and building resumes that support those goals. And then once you've done that, you're tweaking here and there, but it's not as if you're writing a resume from scratch.
That's right.
Okay. Well, good. Well, we want to take a pause right now, Louise. And when we come back, I want to tap into your knowledge of resumes, because obviously you also know, in addition to knowing about customization, you know a lot about what makes for a successful resume. And I want to draw you out about that. So bear with us and we'll be back in a moment. 3 weeks ago, you saw a posting for your dream job. It was perfect. You put together your application, and you got even more excited after you finished. Now it's been almost a month since you hit the send button, and today you received an email saying you didn't get an interview. Sometimes people get this bad news because of a simple resume mistake. We've had thousands of companies post jobs on MaxList, so I talk to hiring managers all the time. Employers tell us one of the first things they do when reviewing applications is to look for a reason to say no. And a bad resume, even one with a typo, for example, makes it easy to move someone to the reject pile. I don't want to see this happen to you. That's why I created the digital guide, Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. It's a free publication, and it's just 10 pages long. But in those 10 pages, I show you the most common resume errors employers tell me they see all the time. Set yourself up for success. Go to maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. Write a resume that gets you more interviews. Get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. Again, that's maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio, and we're talking today with master resume writer Louise Kurzmark. And Louise, before the break, we were talking about how to customize the resume, and I really liked your points about being clear about your job search objectives and having those basic foundational documents in place, whether it's one or two or three different resumes to support your varied objectives. Let's talk about about what makes for a good resume. What are the key elements of a resume that people need to pay attention to?
I guess I might start by saying what I think problems that I see in many resumes. And then if people can avoid those, they'll have a better resume. One of the main problems that I see is people focus too much on their job activities. In other words, a job description. I was hired to do this. This is what I did all day. These are my responsibilities. And while that information certainly can include important keywords and can describe the kind of work that you do, it says nothing about how well you did your job. So I like to minimize those descriptions and just briefly cover the territory of what the job entailed and spend much more of the space on the resume describing individual achievements, success stories, times when you took initiative, how you made a difference to your company or your customers. And those are very specific. They are unique to you, so no one else is going to have them. And they illustrate to an employer the value that you brought, what you do on the job, how well you perform your job, and what you're going to do for that company when you get hired by them. So they're much more valuable on the resume than simply reciting job descriptions that anyone who applies for that job could probably have.
Can you give us some examples of how best to document those achievements? Are you talking about statistics?
Yeah, sure. One thing that I really like to do is ask yourself, when you are kind of writing your descriptions, why was I hired? What was the problem? What was the situation that was going on at this organization when I was brought in? Was it because sales had slumped and they needed to replace someone on the team? Was it because they were expanding into a new territory? Was it because they had a problem with customer service and they brought in someone that they thought could be more beneficial? What did they hire me to do? Was it, you know, high-level financial responsibility? And when you can frame what you did in the context of what you were asked to do, or what the situation that existed before you got there versus after you got there, then you have that success story. And oftentimes you will have numbers and statistics and other kind of concrete data to support your statement about how valuable you were. So it just makes it easier when you think about the context to create the story.
Why does that matter more to employers? Don't they also care about credentials or the title or the responsibilities you had at your past jobs?
Oh, they do care about that as well. And yes, you need to show job titles. That every employer is looking for kind of a different package of stuff in a hire. So they put into their job descriptions all the things they'd like to have, you know, a certain level of education, a certain career progression, number of years of experience. And most people who are going to be successful applying for those jobs are going to have all of that. So when you go in as a candidate, if you have only the bare requirements for the job, you're not really going to stand out against the others. But if you have all of those pieces of data, the credentials, the experience, the job titles, maybe a type of company or industry that you worked in, and in addition to that, you have examples of how well you did your job and how you helped your company to be more successful, that's going to make you a standout candidate, someone who can prove it and not just claim to have done something.
Now, you spend a lot of time working on resumes. It's been an important part of your career, but I was struck at the start of our conversation by the importance you put about on doing things other than sending in resumes and looking at public postings. Can you talk more about that, Louise, particularly the amount of time that people should spend, say, responding to public postings versus doing other activities in a search?
Sure. And you know, I do spend my job is writing resumes. So of course, I think they're important. And I can certainly talk about why, in addition to having a great resume, I think the process is valuable, but it's a tiny piece of the puzzle. So let's say, for example, you're in a job hunt. Let's say you're not working. And if that's the case, you should be spending a full day's work working on your job search. Let's call it 6 hours a day. Maybe you can't do it for 8 hours. So you have 6 hours in a day. You might work on your resume. You might prepare for an interview. You might send out some new resumes. And of course, you need to be thinking about who can I talk to about my profession, about companies that I'm interested in. And you need to spend time identifying people to talk to, reaching out to those people, following up with people, following up on meetings that you might have had or conversations that you've had. So it's really a pretty involved process versus sitting down at your computer, dashing off 10 or 20 resumes and then going on about your day. If you really want to have a successful search, you're going to spend the time to investigate where you'd like to work, the kinds of companies you'd like to work at, where you can find the culture that most interests you, where people work who can have a conversation with you about the kind of work that you're interested in and maybe help you with a referral. So all of those things require going beyond the postings and using the telephone, using email, using tools like LinkedIn where you can find connections to people, looking back through your past work history and your personal connections to figure out where people are and how they might be able to give you some advice or some assistance. So all of that, it can be a very involved process that in my profession, we call it job search. So job search coaching is a profession. Part of many resume writers do that as well. I personally don't offer that service, but you can work with a coach if you really get stuck and just can't figure out how to put one foot in front of the other at the beginning of your job search week. You can also find lots of support at local networking meetings or in Massachusetts, we call them the one-stop centers, the state service centers where they help people with who are unemployed. Lots of different resources are available to you. College and university career centers, not just for new grads, also for alumni. So think about the resources that will help you to create a plan, execute the plan, and start your day, your week with an idea of how you're going to invest your time and not simply just zap out the resumes. And then, as I said earlier, get very discouraged when you don't hear back from hardly any of them.
Well, I'm glad you made that point because I know, of course, your business is about helping people with their resumes. But I find, and I wonder if you have this experience too, sometimes when I meet with job seekers, the resume, they don't know how to think beyond preparing the resume and sending it out. And I don't think often they fully understand what you call the job search process and all the work that's involved. So it's encouraging to hear someone with your background who focuses on resumes emphasize the importance of that.
I'm glad that you appreciate that, because I think it's really true. And one thing, as I mentioned earlier, regarding the value of creating your resume, whether you do it yourself by really digging into your background or whether you work with a professional writer on it, when you end up with a great resume, you have a very clear understanding of who you are, what your value is in the market, and the stories that you want to elaborate on in the interview, because those are all featured in your great resume. So when you go in and you have meetings with people, you're not simply saying, you know, here I am, help me, I need a job. You're saying, here I am, here's a synopsis of my value in the marketplace. Here's some of my great success stories. Let's talk about some of these and how I can bring those to your organization. You have just a clearer focus and much more confidence going into the search because you've done the work ahead of time to really think about why you've been successful in the past and how you're going to be successful in the future.
And that clarity about your focus, I think, to bring it back to our topic this week, helps you tweak your resume and customize it in a way that requires some work, obviously, and preparation. But there is a way to do it without driving yourself crazy because you've done that homework, haven't you?
Exactly. Yeah. And then once you've done it a couple of times, it becomes easier each subsequent time because you know what changes you made the first time and you know kind of where you were able to tweak some of the language to make it more customized. I think that each time you do it, it should get a little bit easier, assuming you're staying in the same family of jobs and not kind of going off the rails in an entirely new direction.
Well, terrific. Well, Louise, tell us what's next for you.
I'm busy writing resumes every day, of course. But lately, what I'm working on, I am working with my writing partner, Wendy Enelo, on an update of our most recent resume book. It's called Modernize Your Resume, and the second edition will be coming out early in 2019. So we wrote it a couple of years ago with knowing how much resume writing had changed over the last 5 to 10 years. And a lot of the resume books that you'll find on the shelves are not updated. They just don't have the latest information on how people read today, what kind of information they need to include in a resume and why, how it should look in this day and age, which is a little bit different than it used to look 5 or 10 years ago. So we're updating that. We're coming out with a second edition of Modernize Your Resume early in 2019.
Well, terrific. I know people can learn more about that book and the other books you've written by visiting your website, as well as find out more about your services. The address is louisekurzmark.com. We'll include the URL in the show notes and in the article that appears on the MaxList website. Louise, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Mac. It was a great pleasure to talk with you.
Take care, Louise.
Thanks. Bye.
I enjoyed that conversation with Louise, and I hope you did as well. A couple of things stood out for me. One was she offered a very practical process for customizing your resume, but I love the point that she made that it begins with clarity about your goals. You got to know where you want to go. And that's hard. That's hard, hard work. But as Louise said, once you get clear about that and you have a basic resume and you do the customization 1, 2, 3 times. You know, it still work, but it's not going to seem overwhelming as it might if you've never done it before. The other point I'm glad Louise made, she's obviously a very talented and experienced resume writer, was about the importance of job search, the things you do once you've finished your resume and tweaked it and added it to your application process, a packet rather. It doesn't stop there. You've got to get away from the computer and you got to go out and talk to people. And we talk about that a lot on MaxList and this show. But as Louise said, so many jobs are filled through word of mouth, through connections made at events, through conversations with former colleagues, coffee meetings with old grads that you once knew as a student. So tap into that as Louise encourages you to do. Speaking of resumes, we want to make sure that in addition to having a good resume and putting the effort into customizing it when necessary, that you also pay attention to resume basics. Again, we see at MaxList too many applicants make the same common resume mistakes again and again. So things like poor formatting, not adding contact information, even allowing typos to slip by. You can avoid these pitfalls. Get my new guide. It's called don't make these 8 killer resume mistakes. It's just 10 pages, but in those 10 pages, you'll find a good description of the most common errors employers tell us they see that can sink most resumes. And there's also great advice there about how to fix those problems. Get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Again, that's maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job, and join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Jen Melnick, and she'll explain how to clinch a job offer. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.